Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Well, there's two ways to look at it. Either A, you say this is a total mess, or you can say, well, this is good. It's amazing what happens when some conservatives stand up for their principles, and we might even get a different Speaker of the House than Kevin McCarthy. The headlines all over the country are exactly what you would expect. This after Kevin McCarthy lost his third ballot. The House in chaos is how CNN has it, with no speaker elected, all business on hold. Democrats are loving this moment, cherishing this moment, and saying, look at how the Republicans are in, quote, disarray. Is this disarray worth something for a 24-hour hold? Yes, I believe that it is. Now, the House has decided to adjourn. The headlines read, there's, quote, no end in sight. Is that actually true? Well, joining me now to talk about the history of this and exactly what's happened is Carrie Pickett. She's a senior congressional reporter for the Washington Times and a good friend of mine. Carrie, I appreciate you coming on. I know you're very busy right now as a senior congressional reporter for the Washington Times. This hasn't happened in literally 100 years. Put a little bit of historical perspective into this now, and then we'll get into the modern kind of day politics of it.
That's right. The House Speaker's election, as you mentioned, has not required multiple ballots in 100 years. Now, House historians, they've recorded 14 instances, many of them in the years after the Civil War, in which the Speaker election required numerous ballot rounds. And the last time was at the start of the 68th Congress in 1923. That was when Frederick Huntington Gillette, he was a Massachusetts Republican. He was elected on the ninth ballot. Okay. Now, the five holdouts against McCarthy, you know, they're demanding really key changes to the House rules that would take power away from the Speaker and giving more governing authority to the committees and rank and file lawmakers. You know, for example, one would require the reinstatement of a rule that would allow lawmakers a vote to replace the House Speaker mid-Congress. And look, understandably so, McCarthy has been pretty reluctant to negotiate with these five holdouts out of concern that it will embolden this group to make even more demands, even after if he was elected Speaker. Now, as we've seen, Ben, it isn't just five holdouts. After three rounds so far, we've seen, like, you know, 19 members come out against McCarthy, voting for Mr. Biggs of Arizona, as well as Mr. Jordan of Ohio. So, you know, he has a lot of negotiations to do right now.
You know, you look at these 20 that have basically said, hey, we'll go with Jim Jordan, for example. We're done, you know, with Kevin McCarthy. And a lot of people are saying now it looks like Kevin McCarthy may be done. He says, no, I'm not. The adjournment, does it help or hurt? Because the early morning argument when they got there Tuesday morning was, hey, if it takes 100 votes, Kevin McCarthy said, we're going to do it in 100 votes. If it takes 150, we're going to stay. This wasn't that many votes. This was, you know, after three times, they said, okay, we're going to adjourn. Now, so people understand why there was an adjournment. There was a lot of members of Congress that have their family members there. Usually you elect the Speaker of the House. Then you go and take your pictures with your family for your swearing in, the pictures and all of that hoopla. Your family's there. And there were a lot of members that said, all right, we're not getting anywhere on Tuesday. We know that. Let's adjourn till Wednesday at noon. Let's go take these pictures and kind of do this with our family and have this moment in our personal careers where we're becoming members of Congress. But there's a lot of people that say, okay, this could be bad news for Kevin McCarthy because it gives more time for people behind the scenes to have conversations that maybe they couldn't have had while they were still all sitting there on the floor of the House.
I know. It's a real shame because for the past century, every speaker has been able to swear in members, or every new speaker has been able to swear in members right away, and they've been able to gather with their small children and their spouses on the floor. And these members weren't able to do that this time around, which is a shame. But look, one of the things that I was telling some reporters, I'm like, this is kind of interesting. You get to tell sort of new members and some new reporters. It usually isn't like this.
Yeah.
When January 6th happened, it was sort of similar in the sense of it usually isn't like this. And, you know, this is where we are today.
Yeah, my guest with me is Carrie Pickett Singer, congressional reporter for The Washington Times. Carrie, let's talk about the politics of this now. Chip Rory, who was there, he said, look, the reason why I'm saying no to Kevin McCarthy is I want there to be up or down votes on basic things, amendments. We haven't been doing this. Great example is this massive spending bill we just had that they rammed down our throats. They wouldn't let us separate things out and debate things on it, their merit. A great example of that when it comes to the merit was the Ukraine funding. He said, look, I support Ukraine against Russia, but I think we should have a grand debate on the funding for Ukraine. It shouldn't be thrown into this omnibus spending bill the way that it was just done. And he said, this is the problem that he has. He wants these things to be debated on their own merit. There's a lot of people in America that hear that and go, okay, that makes sense. Chip Rory's a guy that said, all right, I'm going to nominate Jim Jordan on the second ballot, which is what he did, on the third ballot, which is what he did. And he's saying, I think the American people are ready for transparency back in government. I'm not here making ridiculous demands for me to sit on certain committees or things like that. I'm saying we need to go back to how do we pay for this and where's our money going? I want transparency in government. Is that where Jim Jordan can pick up some steam in the early morning hours and overnight Tuesday into Wednesday?
Maybe, because that was a similar reason that I heard from Ralph Norman of South Carolina. He does not like the spending problems that we have seen very recently, and that is what's keeping him a no on McCarthy as well. Another issue, too, by the way, Ben, is you have a number of these holdouts, number of these conservatives. They don't like the whole idea that you have Republican leadership who kind of gets involved with these primaries, and they put their money down and they onto winners and losers. They sort of pick who they would like to push forward as opposed to just staying out of the primaries altogether. And we saw that in the upper chamber with Mitch McConnell and a number of these conservatives who ended up kind of squeaking through or even overwhelmingly making it through. They saw how the money was spent this time around as far as GOP leadership in the House, and they're sort of upset about that as well.
You know, when you look at McCarthy, he did make a statement to CNN where he said, there is no scenario where I drop out. He really seemed to, I think, mismanage this vote early on in the day. He had meetings with some of those that said they were going to be no's. He went to the floor knowing he didn't have the votes to become the speaker. And he basically said, well, no one else does either. So I'm going to get this by default. That backfired. Was this a big miscalculation for him?
Well, he was hoping, from what I understand, that he was apparently making a deal with some Democrats that they would simply just leave the floor and lower the threshold,
right?
Where he wouldn't need 218 votes. Maybe.
All right, hold on. Explain that aspect of this vote, because this is something that Kevin McCarthy was also thinking about. From what I was told, that they were saying, look, if this did go to 100 votes, eventually some Democrats would leave because they'd be like, look, we know we're not going to get it. That would lower the threshold on the vote count, so therefore he could get it. Explain the math on that and that strategy, because it very well could come into play on Wednesday.
So apparently, McCarthy was making a deal with Democrats to leave the floor at some point and lower the threshold from 218 to a number that he could actually attain. However, you had a number of these conservative Republican holdouts, these anti-Kevin McCarthy types, who caught wind of this, and they ended up asking, squad members like AOC, saying, "Hey, what's this about you guys leaving the floor?" And these AOC types are like, "We had no plans to do that." So, that kind of blew up in his face.
Well, let's talk about if he doesn't get these votes. I mean, they say it's an all-out war now, but if you don't have the votes, you don't have the votes. Is there real talk now about coalescing behind a Jim Jordan, or would he still be short? And then do you get yourself in a situation where there's a moderate that all of a sudden comes out of this?
I asked, you had a Bob Good, Republican from Virginia, and he is, once again, a never Kevin McCarthy conservative. And he's the one who's always been talking about, oh, we have a candidate, we have a consensus candidate, and we're keeping this candidate, mysterious until the second round. And I asked him, like, okay, where is this mysterious candidate that you're supposed to unveil? And he dodged that question completely. So now we know that they never had a consensus candidate to begin with, or that person just dropped out. So as far as we can see, there is no consensus candidate as of now.
Kerry, I want to ask you about the politics of this when it deals with Donald Trump. What's very interesting about the vote that we witnessed on Tuesday was the people that were saying no to Kevin McCarthy were very much the MAGA Republicans. And yet Donald Trump has not said anything on his Truth Social about this so far. He didn't seem to do anything really to help during the day that we know of Kevin McCarthy. He's kind of stepped back. Why?
Very excellent question there, Ben. In fact, if you recall, Donald Trump did throw his support behind Kevin McCarthy early on for speaker, okay? And he did sort of like do a deal with him in regards to, hey, you support me, I'll support you. However, very recently, as you very much mentioned, he has not said anything in regards to Kevin McCarthy's speakership situation. And I think it's because Trump has, wants to be known as supporting a winner. Okay. And I spoke with Congressman Ken Buck about this. Ken Buck is a Colorado Republican, and he thinks that this, it may have helped McCarthy maybe in the beginning, but it may have backfired ultimately, and that's where he's sort of stuck at this point.
Yeah, stuck is a great way of putting it. Let's talk about Boebert and Matt Gaetz. They made it very clear early on they were not going to go for Kevin McCarthy. They kept asking for things that some people said was just unrealistic. Others said, look, they didn't, they've been trying to screw those two over for the Republican establishment for a long time, didn't support them the way they should in their reelection bids. Boebert almost lost her seat in Congress. Mm. Matt Gaetz has kind of been hung out to dry. Some say, others say, well, it's his own doing. When you look at those two individuals and they say this is just spite what's happening right now, and they're putting they're empowering the Democrats. now with 20 people going for Jim Jordan's, can you really say that anymore about them? Are they maybe they're ultra MAGA, right? But are they more principled than maybe some of these other people are? And honestly, more than they thought they were going to be.
Matt Gaetz, his vendetta against McCarthy is more personal than anything else.
Explain it then. Explain that, because a lot of people don't know the history there.
Okay. I think that you have Matt Gaetz, who just never really felt that he was supported by a McCarthy when he felt that he was under siege by a lot of the Democrats, and as well
and when he was under investigation,
exactly, as well as Liz Cheney, when Liz Cheney was also attacking him as well. So when you had the Democrats and Liz Cheney who was attacking him, he didn't feel that that you had McCarthy who had his back, and he sort of like felt like McCarthy was sort of stabbing him in the back. And then when elections sort of came around, he pointed out, as I previously mentioned, that McCarthy was sort of giving was sort of picking and choosing losers in the primaries. And that's where he ended up saying, you know what, I've had enough of McCarthy. And that's where some of the history off the top of my head kind of comes from.
I want to ask you about this. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich did an interview with his good buddy over at Fox Business Channel, Larry Kudlow, a moment ago. This is what he had to say about this battle that's historic, 100-year battle. We haven't seen this in 100 years. Here's how he put it, and I want to get your reaction.
I was impressed that even when the rebels decided to consolidate around Jim Jordan, who, of course, had just nominated Kevin McCarthy, the number of votes didn't change. They didn't get any new votes. So I'm looking to the third, fourth, and fifth ballots to see what's going to happen. My guess is that McCarthy, in fact, will in the end be Speaker. I wrote a newsletter recently pointing out that it was Kevin or chaos, because, I mean, if for any reason the radicals were to somehow be able to drive him out, they would have established a precedent that anybody else can do the same thing. Lincoln warned about this in his first inaugural and said, the problem with secession is once you establish that right, everybody can secede from everybody. Well, the five who started this fight have now given every other member of the House Republican Party the moral right to go out and find four friends and have the same chaos. And I think that's why the conference has been overwhelmingly solid, and they're still overwhelmingly solid, even with Jim Jordan's name, and Jordan is certainly a very serious person. The numbers didn't change at all. They got 19. Kevin got 202. That means he's getting better than 10 votes for every vote the rebels can put together. And I think they have no end game. These people can't play tic-tac-toe. And I think that's part of the problem is they've gotten themselves, they're like the dog that caught the bus. They've gotten themselves in this position. They can't get out of it. And if Kevin is prepared to calmly and cheerfully wait him out, at some point their districts are going to start calling him and saying, you know, what are you doing? Why are you ruining the Republican Party?
I got to ask this question, and you've been there a long time in Washington, Kerry. You've been covering this. You know, he said at some point Americans will start calling saying, what are you doing? You're ruining the Republican Party. I disagree with that opinion, and I have a lot of respect for Newt Gingrich. I think the majority of Republican voters would overwhelmingly support a Jim Jordan over a Kevin McCarthy. I think Kevin McCarthy is very much more the establishment GOP, the rhinos, the quote swamp. I think there's a ton that would call and say, get behind a Jim Jordan. But does he really have a chance in your opinion? Or do you say, you know what? Newt's probably right. At the end of this thing, Kevin McCarthy's still going to end up being the speaker.
I think that you had Newt, who has, you know, really forged this this strong sort of relationship with McCarthy right now. Keep in mind, you know, Newt himself, I mean, you had like a coup so to speak, a political coup that, like, you know, pretty much he had to deal with back in his day when he was Speaker. So, you know, there's some sort of recollections going on in his mind when he had to sort of deal with these factions when he was Speaker back in his day. So I think that's kind of going on right now as far as he's concerned. That being said, if you have enough people who end up falling away from McCarthy, and look, some already are, then Jordan could very well end up getting enough votes. But until then, I think I do think the longer it goes on, it could very well happen.
It's going to be very interesting. I appreciate your time, Carrie Pickett, senior congressional reporter at The Washington Times. Check her out. She's on Twitter and all the other social media platforms as well. Thank you for spending some time with us and explaining this to us as you're live there in D.C.
Take care.
Thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
It is obviously a historic day. It is has not happened in 100 years. There is no Speaker of the House right now because Kevin McCarthy did not get the votes needed to become the Speaker. Joining me now to talk about the politics of this, a man that served in Congress with a lot of the people involved in this scenario, is former Congressman Doug Collins. Doug, I appreciate you coming on. Let's talk about how did we get to this point. I am still honestly shocked that Kevin McCarthy took this vote to the floor knowing he didn't have the votes to win, somehow assuming that he'd eventually just get there, then clearly getting it wrong. Are you as shocked as I am by the political miscalculation here?
Yes and no, Ben, it's good to be on with you. I think you have to take it too far. Number one, Kevin has been wanting this job for so long, and he has been denied it once by a group that back then, frankly, didn't. He let it go before it came to a vote or anywhere else, and he stepped aside. That's how we ended up with Paul Ryan. I think at this point he has felt like over the past few years he's done everything he possibly can do. He's raised more money than any speaker any leader we've ever had. He elected most of these people. What's crazy is some of these people who are voting against him now, he actually helped get elected. And I think he just hit the point of just simply saying, I've got no other place to go. It's either I go to the floor and I die on the floor, or, you know, either way, that's the more, acceptable thing for him to do. I am shocked that he didn't have more conversation. I thought he would have this. If he was going to have it locked up, he'd have tried to have it locked up before. But now you've gotten into a situation, Ben, where you've got people who it's really, frankly, not about policy anymore. It's about the fact that they simply just don't want Kevin McCarthy, and they're willing to stick to their guns. And as long as five of them hold out, Kevin can never become Speaker.
Yeah, and it seems that the bullying on of Kevin McCarthy, kind of like, you're going to step in line, and I've got enough people around me that no one else is going to get this thing, really backfired. I talked to one of the five confidentially, and they said the arrogance is what got him in trouble. Is he treated us like we were beneath him, and that because he had virtually all the votes needed, that we would just shut up and go away, and they dug in even harder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it's really interesting. This is where Republicans and Democrats are really different. Pelosi and the Democratic leadership have been doing this for years, keeping their folks in line, threatening them with lack of resources or threatening them with a primary or whatever. You know, and on our side, that's just never been a case. And then when it has happened, Republicans, get upset. And I think what happened here is Kevin, there's an old saying in life, you cannot negotiate with somebody who's willing to shoot the hostage. And by meaning that there's nothing you can do. You either give them what they want or they'll never agree to you. And I think he just misread this with the five and probably a little bit more, probably 8 to 10, that just said, look, Kevin, unless you give us exactly what we want, we don't trust you. And I think that's going to become the theme out of this. Is at the end of the day,
Chip Roy said exactly that.
I don't trust you.
I don't trust you. And look, Chip Roy, I want to be clear here, because when he nominated Jim Jordan on that third ballot and gave his speech, he made it clear, we just want there to be transparency in government, which, by the way, as the majority of Republicans are going to listen to this, are going to agree with this. He said, look, I want there to be amendments, for example, that are voted on based on their merit, not crammed into one massive bill. He referred to the Ukraine funding that was in the omnibus spending bill. He said that should have been debated on its own merit.
Agree completely. And I think here's the problem. Some of what they want, okay, and this is some of the things that, like you just said, are things that we should have been doing or have been in the rules before. Again, thus not trusting Kevin. We had 72-hour prior filing on bills. We had some of this other stuff that is supposed to move toward a more open amendment process, which, by the way, the deep, dark secret is members want that until it actually happens, and then it's really an interesting play after that, because it actually requires a lot more time and effort than most of the members, frankly, and I'm just being blunt here, are willing to give.
Yeah.
These are the problems that are out there that could – yeah, I mean, couldn't have thought. There's no reason. I mean, again, I'm so sick of, Ben, you and I thought about it. I am so sick of the Republicans and the Democrats acting as if September 30th is a shock. That's when the budget is due. That's when you got to have a spending bill done. Why don't you start in February getting it done?
Yeah.
And instead, they run it late because it controls, as long as the later it is, the leadership gets to decide. That's where Chip and him, I think, are right. Then it's left in it into this, we go into this all of a sudden, the big deal about the motion to vacate. I'll give you a little secret here. This might be breaking news on yourself. Back when they were trying to use that against John Boehner, we had heard, and I cannot prove this, but we've heard it, and I heard it from enough folks, that the Democrats had basically back-channeled to say, look, we're not going to allow this to happen, frankly, because they didn't want it to happen to them. So, again, this motion to vacate is an idea that sounds really good, but at the end of the day, you still got to bring it to the floor, and you still got to get people to vote for it. And granted, they're in a much better position to do it now with four votes than, say, back when we had 35 vote margin. But again, these are things that most people don't understand. And that what they do understand is that we want to see Republicans do something. We want to see them pass bills. We want to see them actually have conservative legislation. And right now, we're going into day two of a 118th Congress with Nancy Pelosi's clerk staff and everybody else still in control of Congress.
Yeah. You listen to those that kind of started this, and there's some, and they have reason to be angry. Representative Boebert barely won her reelection. She feels she was hung out to dry by the establishment. Matt Gaetz feels like he was disrespected and wasn't protected when people like Liz Cheney came after him and the investigations, and that Kevin McCarthy didn't do enough, and they're sticking it to McCarthy. That's very clear. Yep. But Representative Boebert said this just moments ago on Fox News. I want you to hear what she had to say about Jim Jordan, saying he's the guy, and then I'll get your reaction.
How do you see this ending? Can you see yourself voting for a consensus candidate? Can you vote for Steve Scalise, for example?
I'm voting for anyone who actually brings unity to the Republican Party and helps get our country back on track.
And
we
who is
have
that?
To actually govern on the things that we've campaigned. Well, right now, our candidate is Jim Jordan. He is a fighter. He is a leader. He may not want it right now, but George Washington did not want to be president. He did what was right for his country.
So do you think Jim Jordan is the consensus candidate?
Right now, he absolutely is. And every time that he speaks up to defend Kevin McCarthy, he actually just reaffirms why he would make a great speaker.
And if you heard from him that he does not want it in any way, shape, or form, what do you say?
I have heard that from him. And if we have the numbers, then sorry, Jim Jordan, we're going to make you do what's right for the country. We love you.
Okay.
Do you believe her, or is she full of crap?
No.
Is this I barely won this my last election, I'm going to go down and burn the place down in the process?
Well, I think anybody that's already voted against McCarthy has nothing to lose, okay? Because they've already set themselves outside over 200 plus of their own members. They're going to have trouble. You know, this is not going to go away. This Band-Aid that was ripped open today is not going to heal anytime soon. The understanding part here is Jim Jordan. Ben, I will tell you, there's at least 100 probable members, 125 members, who will never vote for Jim Jordan for Speaker, period. It ain't happening.
So, say that, why?
Because of just history, mainly. Because, you know, and I think mainly because going back through history and times that many in the conference are just not as fighting spirit, however you want to put it. And Jim does not build those relationships outside of the main part of his own committee or the Freedom Caucus. There's a lot to do with this is the part that it's hard for him to understand, but sitting in those chairs, sitting in those conference rooms, it is as much of as close to, I won't say military because I'm in the military, but it's different, but maybe a fraternity. You can be a part of fraternity but not know everybody. You can be a part of fraternity but not really that many friends. Sometimes this is what Jim has been a great member at bringing up issues. He's a great member at investigating, but he's never desired to legislate, and he's never desired to lead the conference. He's desired to focus on investigations, to dig in and go after what he is wanting to investigate. There's a much bigger picture here when it comes to being Speaker of the House. And if whoever gets this is in trouble. I mean, they're in trouble.
I was going to ask you. You look at Kevin McCarthy, he's wanted this thing for as long as he's been alive and knew what the Speaker was.
Yeah.
You've got a guy by the name of Steve Scalise who a lot of people know his name because unfortunately he was wounded in that attack when they were preparing for that baseball game, the congressional baseball game several years back. He's liked by a lot of people. He's a survivor in that sense. They're close friends, and people keep saying maybe he's the quote consensus candidate. If you say that Jim Jordan's will never get it and they're going to have to move on from him, is Steve Scalise, based on your time in Congress, probably that one or best option right now?
He may be, but my concern goes back to something that I heard just a few minutes ago, and that is, you know, from some of the five or six that have voted no consistently, you know, they said that if you just come, like if you go to the one vote on the motion to vacate, or you go to this, then we'll vote for you. Look, that may get the consent. That may get those on board, and you may keep the other 200 simply because it's what, four votes, and they're tired of looking like they don't know what they're doing. But in over time, the more the next person gives to get those votes, there's a group of the other House members that are sitting there like the old story of the prodigal son. Prodigal son comes home, everybody celebrates, but what about the son who stayed? And there's a lot of members who are sitting there saying, look, we're here just to work. We've been doing the work away from cameras and everything else, and you're giving everything to these who pitch to fit. And that's your problem, Ben. And look, I'm not trying to put down either side, but this is the reality. And people need to take, in the Republican Party, I'm sick of us doing the high and mighty, cloud-waving stuff. We got to be reality. If we want to fight back against Democrats, we better get our crap together.
Let me ask you this. Come noon Wednesday, they reconvene. What happens then in your gut? How long will it take? And do you believe that Kevin McCarthy will end up being the Speaker?
I think he still has a chance. It'll depend on how much he is able to give tonight. And also then it would also say, are those five or six philosophically opposed just to Kevin? If they are, he won't become Speaker.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. It seems like those five are pretty much hell-bent on just saying, we're going to screw you to say because you're the establishment, and you better find us another candidate because we're not going to give you your dream job. And look, maybe that's one of the problems of saying you want it so bad is that people know just how bad you want it. Now it's just an issue of you want it this bad. We're going to make sure you never get it.
Yeah, that's the problem Kevin's had all along. And I just say this as someone who considers him a friend. Kevin has always had that problem. He was always the consensus. If you remember back when they were the young guns, remember when Republicans thought Kevin McCarthy, Paul's Ryan, and Eric Cantor were the stars of the
true
new
conservatives.
Right.
They were before they got corrupted by Washington. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting, though. And what is happened is Paul, Paul fell off because, Paul, again, leading in a speakership job is almost impossible. Nancy Pelosi is uncommonly
Look, if you ever want to be, I've always said this, if you ever want to be president of the United States of America, you never want to be Speaker of the House because you'll never get the job.
Exactly. It's one of those things. So, I mean, now, is there an opening now for an off, not an off, an unknown, okay? Because I want to be very careful with Republicans. Remember, we got Denny Hassert this way, okay?
Remind people of that because they don't remember the history. So quickly explain what you mean by that.
I will. That's a concern because we've got to get back in the, back in the 2000s when we had one of our speakers, Livingston, I think it was. He was going to be speaker. Then he got caught in an affair, and they're coming along, and really nobody was out behind. Nobody could agree on who it was. And then all of a sudden, this sort of backbencher from Illinois, who was sort of liked by everybody, remember my fraternity reference, he was sort of liked by everybody, go-along, get-along kind of guy, he was pushed up and was elected speaker. And if you go through those times, and then, of course, the very ugly way he ended and what came out after his speakership and everything else, but also, I reminded somebody today because they were giving Paul Ryan and John Boehner and all a real hard time. Remember, Paul Ryan did not want to be speaker. He's just like Jim Jordan in that respect. He didn't want to be speaker. It's not his giftedness. It's not where he wanted to be. And yet he took the job. And, you know, some things I think he did very well on. Some things I think he struggled with because he was still looking at an old school consensus. So, folks, you've got to be wary that speaker is a job that is more than just giving speeches. It's more than just, you know, telling the Democrats to take a jump. It's actually a lot of administration. It's actually a lot of planning. It's a lot of stuff. And it takes you away from things that you may want to do. That's why Jim wants to be he took my old position as ranking member of judiciary, and he wants to be judiciary chairman because that's his comfort zone. That's where he likes to be. You take that out, Jim doesn't go get to yell at people in the committee anymore. He has to stay in the speaker's office and control 222 Republicans to get things like the budget passed, the debt ceiling done, and things like that.
My guest will be Doug Collins. He's got a great podcast. You can download Doug Collins' podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Final question. Noon, you're there. If you were a member of Congress again and you were sitting there, how would you vote at noon?
Tomorrow, I'd have probably been – knowing what I know right now, with the situation like it is, I'd have already voted for McCarthy probably three times. Because simply, there was never the preparation. And again, and that's saying that I had got dropped in without even, you know, having a chance to fix anything beforehand. Because right now, if they get mad at McCarthy, they'll get rid of McCarthy. But at a certain point in time, you got to fix four votes. Think about that, Ben. Four votes.
Yeah, this isn't you get four people to like you who hate you? Probably not.
And remember, we've had some of those people, some of our members in the Republican Party have never voted for an appropriations bill, have never voted for some legislation. How are we supposed to get that done? They've never voted for Republican legislation.
Yeah.
How are they supposed to vote now?
Yeah, great point. Doug, appreciate it. As always, I'm sure we'll have you back again real soon.
Sounds good, Ben. Take care, bud.
Thank you, sir. Take a quick break. Ben Ferguson Show, more coming up. Doug, I appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you for coming on. Make sure you share this podcast with your family and friends. Write us a 5-star review. We're going to keep you up to date on this. Also, I'll be doing a special podcast with Senator Ted Cruz with his show Verdict. So make sure you download Verdict with Ted Cruz as I co-host that podcast with him 3 days a week. And I will see you back here tomorrow.
Hey, it's Danielle, Will, and Ryder from Pod Meets World. Thanks to our friends at Hyundai, we were able to record a very special episode for you guys at the one and only, wait for it,
Boy Meets World House.
Take a listen.
Are there any moments or spots on any of the sets we worked on over the 7 years that you guys felt more at home, that were like your little spots on the set you like to hang out?
I'm afraid it was the sink.
Oh, really? Yes.
Oh, yeah. You had to act by the sink a lot.
Yeah. I was behind the counter.
Yeah.
Right. Doing business constantly.
Uh-huh.
Mom stuff.
Uh-huh. Disciplining you in some way.
This has been brought to you by the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5. New episode out now. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? Well, you could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run big appliances like your fridge even longer. And best of all, the new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans already trust Patriot Power Generators. So go to 4, that's the number 4, patriots.com/Ben to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. So right now, go to 4patriots.com/Ben. That's the number 4, patriots.com/Ben.